Christianity is at its heart an eschatological faith. The eschaton, the end, as in the end of time and in the very purpose of creation, is ever nigh. It's always at the heart of our gospel. It is the very purpose and life of our faith, the kingdom of God. Jesus comes, and Mark says his very first sentence in his public ministry was, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent and receive God's good news." When our Lord teaches us to pray this phrase, "Thy kingdom come," our Lord thrust our vision upon the future and thrust our vision upon God in an act of complete trust, because we are asking for something we cannot make happen ourselves. We cannot bring the kingdom of God. Our Lord says, on the one hand, that already the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within us. However, along with it already, there is a long, long not yet. We cannot bring the kingdom of God any more than we could establish the Easter triumph. Easter has given us the assurance of how the end will look. Death has been vanquished. Evil has been conquered. But we know in our experience of real life that victory has not yet been accomplished in full. And so our Lord teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Our vision is always to be about the longing for the new heaven and the new earth, the new eon to come. I shared with you a few weeks ago about one of my heroes, Helmut Thielicke, preacher and theologian in Stuttgart, Germany, near the end of World War II. He was actually preaching a series on the Lord's Prayer when the Allied bombing destroyed his city. And he stood on the Sunday after their city had been destroyed in what was left of the choir loft, speaking in the open air to the congregation, and said to them, "I am gratified that you and I can gather together and pray the Lord's Prayer. For the Lord's Prayer encompasses the whole of the world, encompasses you and I, even in our terrible and extraordinary existence." Thielicke said to his assembled congregation, "When you are huddled in a bomb shelter and the cargoes of death are rumbling overhead, and you can hear everything you know as the normal world being destroyed, it is easy to feel the presence of the eternal and to cry out, 'Thy kingdom come.' When your kingdom has been destroyed, it's easy to feel the nearness of the permanent and to cry out, 'Thy kingdom come.'" There are some of us here this morning struggling with disease, battling illness, grappling with grief, wrestling with depression, fighting confusion. And in the turmoil
and pain of our lives. We feel the thinness of what we call normal life. We feel the presence of the eternal. We sense that in our darkness, the light of Christ is present. And where Christ is present, the kingdom of God is made manifest. And our souls cry out, "Thy kingdom come."
The kingdom of God is not an earthly utopia. It is not like the human ideas of an idyllic existence. Think about human utopias. The Soviet Union thought they could establish a Marxist heaven on earth. In the process, they extinguished millions of lives in the gulags. The Cambodians thought they could re-educate their people and bring about a utopia on earth. Instead, they liquidated millions of people in the killing fields. The Spanish Inquisition, an allegedly Christian group trying to bring about their version of the kingdom of God, wrought a hell on earth. The kingdom of God is not like any earthly utopia, not even social justice encompasses the kingdom, not environmental protection, not Christianizing the world, not feeding the hungry or clothing the naked or reaching out to the dispossessed. The kingdom of God encompasses all of these things, but it far transcends them. We should burn with a hope that cries out for that day when death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for a new heaven and a new earth are made real. And the old is cast away. It is with that vision in mind our Lord teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." When we pray those words, "Thy kingdom come," we echo our Lord's word of judgment upon all human aspirations and hopes and dreams. Little history lesson. At the start of the 20th century, hard to believe, but the best and the brightest minds, as they envisioned the 20th century unfolding, were sure that humanity's expanding knowledge, its burgeoning technological capabilities, its broadening scientific advances and medical progress were going to bring heaven on earth. Humanity was poised to become its own God. The best and the brightest saw the 20th century as a time when humanity brought about great, great progress. And in a sense, the visionaries were right, but oh, so wrong. We realized over the course of the 20th century, humanity is the most creative and intelligent creature on earth. But we are also the most selfish, the most suicidal, the most homicidal creatures on earth. After the bloodiest, deadliest century in human history, we realize the human kingdom is an illusion. After the Second World War, there was an explosion of religious feeling. Part of it just gratitude for peace, gratitude for deliverance, but much of it was an understanding a world created by human values is capable of destroying itself. We can use our great capability to obliterate all that is. And so people began to cry out, "Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy kingdom come,
Let thy values, thy ethic, thy purity govern our world, order our lives. Thy kingdom come.
Jerusalem, that Jesus lived in, it had strains, it had tensions, but it was prosperous. The world seemed solid enough, and yet Jesus looked around and said, there'll come a day when there's not one stone standing on another in our fabulous temple. Rome seemed to have an empire without end. It seemed invincible. It seemed eternal.
But like all empires, the waters and winds of time pushed it asunder. There is only one rock, one kingdom that endures. It is the rock founded of Jesus Christ.
And yet, think about it. How many of us see our lives as our own little personal kingdom? How secure do we feel in that kingdom? Jesus says, yeah. I think of a man who owned so much and he enjoyed a harvest that was so great, not even his big barns could hold it. And what did he say? I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. I will harvest this great harvest and sell it and have a wonderful profit, and then I will take my ease. His 401k was flush. His bank account was overflowing. He seemed to have it made. His kingdom was established. And what did Jesus say? You fool, tonight your kingdom, your life is required of you. And what will it profit you? You and I look at our lives and thinking they're so solid, but we're one diagnosis, one natural catastrophe, one accident closer to being much closer to God's kingdom than what we call our normal lives. Thy kingdom come, Jesus prays. And understand that when it comes, it won't look like what you and I anticipate. Think about the story that Jeff just read. A king creates a banquet for his son, sends out invitations to his friends and invites them into the kingdom, but they all have better things to do. They all made light of his banquet. And he sends troops of judgment upon them and then says to his emissaries, go out into the streets and bring in everybody you can find, so that my kingdom hall will be full. When God's kingdom is fully realized, God's kingdom hall will be full, but it may not look like what you anticipate. It may include those that you would exclude. But God's grace brings them in. The kingdom of God is nigh. And the kingdom of God can break into our lives, and it can break out of our lives into somebody else's life. Helmut Thielicke, after the bombs have fallen, is standing above a crater where a bomb fell directly on a shelter and obliterated the lives of all 50 people inside. He's looking down at that crater, and he is feeling worthless. His congregation is scattered. His normal life has been shattered. Everything he has regarded as precious has been destroyed. And he can do nothing about it. He's filled with worthlessness and anger. And as he's looking down into that crater, he feels a tug on his shirt. He looks around at a young woman who says to him, "Aren't you Dr. Tilaka?" Not being dressed in his priestly garb, she wasn't sure she recognized him. "Aren't you Dr. Tilaka?" "Yes." "My husband was in that shelter, and all they found of him was his hat." And before Tilaka could express any words of condolence, the young woman said to him, "Dr. Tilaka, we were in the cathedral the last Sunday you preached before it was destroyed. Thank you. Thank you for preparing my husband for eternity. Thank you for preparing my husband for eternity." Eternity sometimes unwittingly can flow through us into someone else's life. Tilaka and this young woman sat looking into that crater, wordlessly sharing a grief, but knowing the kingdom of God had just happened between them. And Tilaka had been an instrument of sharing peace with her broken heart. The kingdom of God is within you. You can be an instrument of making it real on earth and in somebody else's life. Most of you know Napoleon met decisive defeat invading Russia and had to beat a hasty retreat. In order to accomplish that, he had to have a rear guard. He had to have someone volunteer to lead that rear guard in a suicidal mission. And a young officer named Marshal Ney offered his services. Many hours later, a blood-encrusted soldier staggered into Napoleon's camp. And they asked him his name. He said, "I am Marshal Ney." "Where is the rear guard?" he was asked. And he answered, "I am the rear guard. I am the rear guard." Are you willing to say, I am the kingdom of God. I am the kingdom of God for someone else. I can be the kingdom of God to make God's love made known, to make His grace real in somebody else's life. Because that is really what you and I pray every Sunday when we utter those words, "Thy kingdom come." We are asking to be an instrument of Christ's eschaton, end and purpose on this earth. May we pray together. Lord, you are nigh. You call us as your children to be instruments of your kingdom, to be expressions of your eschaton, your end and purpose. May our lives not be superficial, but rise to that call and live in conversation with that which is permanent. Call us to be your instruments, truly your children, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.